after these messages. We'll be right back.
I can't believe I ate that whole thing.
Are you in good hands?
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of After These Messages, where we bring you hot takes on commercial breaks. That's right, we are here to talk about TV commercials tonight. Good ones and bad ones, and ones where people say weird shit like this.
I'm into running, tennis and basketball, soccer, baseball, racquetball, hurdling, and I need shoes.
My name is Andrew Walsh. I'm here with Genevieve Haz. Hello, Vives.
Hi, Andrew.
We also have a special guest making a return appearance on the show after years of absence. We had a bit of a tiff, but we think we can work everything out here on the air today. Nick Jarin, our dear friend, joining us from Houston?
Dallas.
Dallas, Texas.
We're doing great. I was going to tell you, it's been so long since we've had anybody on the show as a guest that I'm a little bit nervous, even though we are longtime dear friends and radio professionals.
Well, good news for you. I did do this show several years ago, so I think I'm ready.
You're right. I'm nervous about myself. I've been like kind of brushing up on interview skills, how to ask good questions to guests. And the reason you're here today, in fact, is to talk about basketball. You are basketball-loving friend and a bit of a basketball shoe junkie. And we realize a whole bunch of commercials are on TV right now where Vives and I will look at them and we'll say, I think that's a basketball player.
That tall guy probably plays basketball.
So we needed to have you on the show to sort of sort things out. And so in my prep, I came up with this first question for you. What's going on with basketball?
Wow. I mean, you shouldn't have gotten me started on such an open-ended question, because there's a lot of amazing stuff happening in basketball right now. We got the NBA season is wrapping up, so the playoffs are coming into the picture. That's all very exciting. We kind of know who the good teams are, but the Western Conference is an absolute mess. My Los Angeles Lakers are scraping and scrapping just to try to get in, but we'll see what happens there. You know, in-season tournament champs, so I'm feeling pretty good about their chances at least making it to the first round of the playoffs. And then on the women's side of things, we got Caitlin Clark and that phenomenon. You got Juju Watkins coming right behind her from USC. Amazing things happening in the WNBA.
I wanted to mention that, actually. This feels like we've sort of crossed some kind of Rubicon, or like reached some kind of critical mass with women's professional basketball, where I'm starting to see them in ads for major products. There's just like a greater awareness of them as professional athletes. And I feel like for the longest time we had a WNBA, but it was not operating in the same like economic and marketing space that men's basketball has for so long.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I mean, you look at how long it took the NBA to catch on, and then you look at how long it's taken the WNBA, and like, they're doing really good, actually. And
they're actually, yeah, they're closing the gap faster than men's basketball did.
100%. And I think that there's a lot of really exciting players in the W right now. You know what? Now I feel bad. I should have sent you some ads with some WNBA players in them, because I do go to Dallas Wings games here, which is technically in Arlington, but they are the Dallas team.
That's WNBA?
Yeah, WNBA.
It looks like maybe Caitlin Clark is in the State Farm ad. Is that is that right?
Yes. Yeah, she is.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course she plays for, I keep on wanting to say, she plays for Iowa, right?
Mm-hmm. Hawkeyes.
And she's Hawkeyes, and she's a senior.
So she's a college player still, but we don't have any WNBA players.
WNBA in
the
there.
First of many times of me apologizing for my ignorance throughout this show.
Well, your ignorance is at least innocent. Nick's just straight up sexist is what we're learning. So I think maybe the apology should be coming from the other direction. But yeah, we have a lot of fun stuff, including some a new Larry Bird ad that Genevieve found, and a dive into some State Farm ads, and this weird dichotomy of Jake from State Farm, who's both kind of super famous but unknown at the same time. Nick, you were doing some reading on that. So we will get into all of that. Let's officially kick off this show with some basketball beats. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. Clyde, Rick, Barry, and Pistol Pete. Now these players could never
let the beat beat. Isaiah and Iceman too, just give him the boy, and then you chuck up too.
Is Pistol Pete in any of the commercials you sent us today?
Here's the thing. Pistol Pete Maravich is actually kind of topical because he is the owner of the NCAA men's basketball scoring record, and Caitlin Clark just broke the women's NCAA scoring record.
That's right. I heard some, you know, sports chuckleheads talking about that. Some because mm-hmm. where did Pistol Pete go to school? The
oh, I have no idea. This was
whatever.
In like the
70s. Yeah, I was hearing some host say like, I don't know. I want Caitlin Clark to do well, but also I'm a fan of this team, and I hate to see that record broken. That's why I heard Pistol Pete recently. Well, speaking of players that are probably slightly past their basketball prime. that's what I know about Larry Bird. We are starting with a mayhem ad, Genevieve.
Yes. We talk all the time about mayhem, as we like
mayhem.
To say on this show. And that Dean Winters is the actor who plays that insurance spokes critter character, whatever.
He's like an insurance spokes vibe.
Yeah, he's like just yeah, he's just an insurance spokes idea.
He's a spokes concept.
Spokes concept. I love it. It's very rare that he makes one that I don't love, and this is no exception. He's a bird, a destructive bird trapped inside the attic of Larry Bird.
That's what mayhem is representing.
Yes, he's playing
a bird
trapped in the attic. So he's just it's just Dean Winters running around the attic of of Larry Bird, with Larry Bird chasing him with like a lacrosse stick or something, trying to whack him. And you're hearing all this destruction unfold. It's Larry Bird trying to smash this bird as it runs into various things.
And then I'll mention this only because it's going to get kind of cacophonous. At some point, Larry Bird goes to jump, I think, to get the bird, aka Dean Winters, off a rafter or something, and then comes down and crashes through the floor. So this ends.
True story. That happened to my dad.
What?
Are you serious?
Yeah, my dad was so when I was growing up, we lived in like a ranch style house that had an attic that was partially floored, but part of it was just like, you know, like beams with the insulation between them. Uh-huh. And my mom tells the story about how she was sitting in their bedroom, and all of a sudden my dad's leg, he was up in the attic doing something or other, and his leg just crashed through the ceiling.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That would be so upsetting for everybody involved.
It's like a sitcom episode.
It's an extremely memorable incident from my family lore. I think I was either a baby or maybe not even born yet when that happened.
Wow.
And your dad was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still with us.
Yeah.
And so we will end this commercial with Larry Bird sort of stuck in a liminal space, his legs dangling down in the
great use of liminal space.
His legs hanging down into the living room while his torso is still up in the attic. Nick had a great observation about this that we'll get to in a moment, and I have one nit to pick.
Oh, I'm a bird stuck in Larry Bird's attic. And I'm going cuckoo.
What the heck?
What you got, Larry? May the best bird win.
So this is like an old school attic. You see a bunch of, you know, it's not finished in any way. You see just kind of a bunch of bric-a-brac from Larry Bird's life, including a whole bunch of basketballs that are up there. I'm assuming that those might be like special game balls or something, Nick. Is that
probably
a joke that they wouldn't be on display somewhere? They're just gathering dust up in this attic?
It would be very Larry Bird for him to not have any of his trophies on display.
Is that true?
That's kind of the... So this is way off topic, but did you ever watch the Nick Kroll show?
No, I've only ever seen clips of it.
It's really good, and I've been rewatching it because it's on some streaming service that we have. I don't even remember which one.
FooHoo.
It's probably FooHoo. Who knows? Anyway, it's a sketch show, and one of the recurring sketches is a... I was trying to explain this to Andrew, and I quickly backed myself into an explanation corner where I couldn't explain why something was funny. But maybe you can explain why it's funny. It's a parody of Cheers, which of course takes place in Boston, and famously, you know, Sam Malone was a relief pitcher for the Sox. In this parody of Cheers, instead of Sam Malone, a fictitious pitcher, you have Larry Bird. It's not him, it's like Nick Kroll playing Larry Bird, and he just plays Larry Bird, an affable but very self-effacing bartender in this bar while like the hijinks of Cheers like hijinks go on around him. And I think like the head of Bill Walton is in a jar for some reason. But the main joke, and I was
he
trying
is a deadhead, to be fair.
And I was trying to explain why this was funny. The main joke is that Larry Bird just like has no ego at all and keeps just trying to be like the nicest guy as all of these like things, Cheers types of adventures happen around him. Maybe that's the thing that sort of made me think of this, is you were like, yeah, it'd be very like Larry Bird to not have his trophies on display.
Yeah, there's kind of like two mythic versions of Larry Bird. There's the version that we got in like the sports writing when he was a player, where he, you know, he's just this guy from Iowa and he's so humble, grew up on his dad's farm, whatever, doesn't care about all the accolades. And then there's the on-court, like from the player perspective, Larry Bird, who is an a-hole and would like curse you out and like call out what he was going to do and then hit the shot right in your face and all kinds of stuff like that. Throw a pass behind your back. And like, there's these two versions of him, like the extreme like competitor. And then the guy was like, well, I already did it. Now who cares?
Wow. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's an interesting, and especially like when personality is such a big part of like NBA lore, you know, now is kind of interesting dichotomy.
So I'm going to play this commercial from the beginning because we're only like halfway through it. But one little thing that I like is when Dean Winters, we first see him, he's like sort of by the attic window, looking out the window, and he says, I'm a bird in Larry Bird's attic. And he takes his head and he bangs it twice into the window pane like a bird trying to get out through a closed window.
I'm a bird stuck in Larry Bird's attic. And I'm going cuckoo.
What the heck?
What you got, Larry? May the best bird win. Rick, you may be a legend on the court, but you're an amateur up here. Heads up, Lair. So get Allstate, save money, and be protected from mayhem, like me. Now you're the bird stuck in the attic.
Great
you
closing.
You love Dean That's Winters good.
I love
so
him
much.
So much. Now you're the bird stuck in the attic.
I would love to be part of that just puntastic writer's room. Who's like, okay, here's X star. Now write as many non sequiturs as you can about it.
I do think that the writers for the Mayhem campaign are fantastic.
I don't even want to get into my nitpick, but it's just the way Larry Bird jumps at the end. It seems very unnatural to me when he sort of like crashes through, but that doesn't matter. It's just comedy. But Nick, you pointed
famously
out.
Famously has a bad back.
Oh, is that true?
No. Yeah.
What I took as bad acting is verisimilitude.
Thank you for being ableist.
Yeah.
You're sexist.
Now he's a jerk.
But Nick, you pointed out in your notes when you either you sent this to us or you're emailing us about it, you mentioned that one of the things that gets destroyed up there as Larry Bird is chasing Dean Winters around with a stick is he's got a whole like CD rack up there that he just
smashes. It's a CD tower.
Yeah.
A CD tower.
Very
from that
90s.
Era, yeah, very 90s. And here's the thing. As somebody who has... Like I was in a Navy family. I moved around a lot in the 90s when we had a ton of CDs, and we did have some CD and like later some DVD towers. To move one of those up to the attic, you have a couple options. One, you hold it in such a tilted specific way that everything stays
like
in while you're carrying it up there. Or two, Larry Bird unloaded that thing and then reloaded the CD tower upstairs where nobody is looking at it.
Yeah, no, that's a good
this
point.
This is why we need you as a set dressing sort of realist checker. By the way, this isn't going to be useful for the listeners, but what do you see behind me?
Beautiful. Just racks and racks of physical
massive CD towers.
That's right. When we got, so those are IKEA CD towers that are behind Genevieve right now in my studio. And for the longest time, I had all of my CDs boxed up, kind of like you just said. I wasn't using them much, and we moved a lot, and we boxed them up. And I think it was when we were moving into maybe our last apartment or whatever, I decided, you know what, I want to pull those out of the boxes. I want to kind of display them again. I don't have any shelving to do that. And so we went to IKEA, and I remember there was like
we briefly ended our relationship, as you must do when you right, go to IKEA. Exactly.
We went,
by the time
we
you get to the cafeteria, you're back together.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went in as
everybody
friends.
Makes up over the meatball.
We came out as love. lovers. Sorry. I promised the audience I would never use that word. But I remember like being very nervous asking the young person there if he had any CD towers. Do you remember this interaction? Because I was like, I don't know that this guy is going to know what a CD is.
We brought a CD to show him. So he'd be like, it would fit something like this.
In the olden times, you'd put it in a player. It would spin around.
But Nick, I liked what you said in our show prep. You said the physical media is coming back. I'm with you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, put that thing on display like you have. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, I love our CD towers. We'll never get rid of those.
All right. Let's move on from Allstate to State Farm. We have here a commercial. Hey, look. Nick included a woman. That's where the bit will end. I'm sorry.
Here's the thing. I'm not even like that public of a person anymore for there to be any kind of like rebuttal afterwards. People are just going to think I'm sexist now.
Okay. I will stop. I will stop the spoofing.
Yeah. Nick is not cancelable. Because he doesn't even exist.
I canceled myself. So this is actually several commercials that you sent us, Nick, all for State Farm, and kind of, I think I'm right about this, kind of a reboot of a concept, I think, in the State Farm ads where you sing the jingle and somebody appears. Usually it's Jake from State Farm or some other State Farm sort of employee or agent or whatever. That kind of went away for a while, right? And it just became like State Farm hanging out
just
with
Jake doing just hobnobbing,
right,
basically. Or
exactly.
Like they try to do that,
trying to steal Andy Reid's nugs.
Yeah, they try and they try to do the whole thing of like too much information, which we didn't think was a great concept.
No, yeah,
but yeah, you're right, the thing with like the like a good neighbor.
Yeah, so in this one though, before the agents or the Jakes of State Farm can appear, first it is famous basketball players just popping up. So in this case, you see some couple in a parking lot somewhere, and I think maybe like somebody dinged their car. I can't remember what sets off the action here.
It is a car issue. I think they like drove over a fire hydrant or something.
Okay, gotcha. Or yeah. And so the woman in the relationship says something like, oh, shoot. And then as soon as she says shoot, Caitlin Clark appears in her, you know, basketball uniform holding a ball and kind of saying, okay, where do you want me to shoot? And then it goes on from there as more and more basketball players appear.
Shoot.
Shoot.
Okay, I'll shoot.
What's happening?
But I don't see any hoop.
No, I said that because of, I'm sorry, shoot.
I'll shoot. Where's the hoop?
They don't.
Now suddenly Jimmy Butler shows up and he also is ready to hoop it up, as
it looks
they
like,
say.
I'm always interested in who's got what licensing rights. It looks like Caitlin's in her actual Iowa jersey, which means somehow Iowa's getting paid. Jimmy Butler is just in like workout clothes.
Is this a foreshadowing of some Jimmy Butler observations that you have? Is he sporting something here that he also promotes in other commercials?
Oh yeah, he's not just wearing any workout clothes, he's wearing Aloe Moves clothes, which he wears in most of his ads.
So Jimmy Butler,
it looks so generic to me. They don't even have like a logo.
That's the appeal, though. It's that quiet luxury thing. Where,
I watch Succession. I get it.
Yeah. She says that about everything.
I do.
We'll get into that more later because Nick sent a whole bunch of links kind of getting into that, how Jimmy Butler, he's advertising for all kinds of things, but as he's advertising for one thing, he's subtly also brand reinforcing the other things that
it's
he's
It's a sponsoring. Strategy.
Very,
it's
really
Charlie
interesting.
With the yarn on the wall is me saying that they're all connected.
Exactly.
You don't understand.
This man's some red thread.
Okay, so we're in this parking lot. This couple keeps on saying shoot, and every time they say shoot, so far a basketball player shows up. I'm gonna start it from the beginning again.
Shoot.
Shoot.
Okay, I'll shoot.
What's happening?
But I don't see any hoop.
No, I said that because of I'm sorry, shoot.
I'll shoot. Where's the hoop?
They don't have one.
You stop saying the S.
I didn't know.
They're gonna want the jingle for this.
Okay.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Don't worry. State Farm makes it easy to file a claim on the app for a new car or even that old pacer.
Someone call for an old pacer?
Like a good neighbor.
So he points to a car, a pacer, and then Reggie Miller shows up, who I am now learning played for the Pacers.
Yes, he did.
I love Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller is one of my favorite people to see in commercials. I think he's so good on camera. And I've really been enjoying his post-career marketing chops.
And what I really liked about,
like, he really had to bide his time to get it too, because when he was in the league, he was a contemporary of Michael Jordan, who was just soaking up every single every single spot that he could. And like, Reggie Miller really didn't hit this this ad renaissance until like the last like 5 years or so. He's got those great Wendy's ads.
Where he's like the he lives
the breakfast
there,
one,
right?
Where he lives there. Yeah,
I think so. Wendy's saw Wendy's spotted an overlooked asset in Reggie Miller, because he's so funny. And the whole campaign they did, where he's kind of like kind of a jerk, but also like just loves Wendy so much that he lives there. I think this is something I've been talking about a lot on this show, but I think that there's there has been a shift in how celebrities, and particularly celebrities who are maybe like one stair step below the like top tier absolute A-listers, there's been a shift in how celebrities are using their images and being more like self deprecating, or like being a little bit roasted in their images and using that to their advantage for marketing. I think we saw it hugely on display in the Super Bowl this year.
Larry Bird,
exactly. He kind of looks ridiculous, right?
Yeah, right. And from a writing standpoint on this one, like, I'm not exaggerating my lack of basketball knowledge. Like, I pick up little bits of things here and there just from like kind of having AM radio on in the background at all times, like the young person that I am. But I know the name Reggie Miller, but I just know that name, you know, and I would associate it with basketball, but I certainly wouldn't know that he's a Pacer. Like, that's a total blind spot for me. But I like that this commercial sort of led me directly to that. I mean, you could even say sort of forced a pun, but it legitimately made me kind of bark laugh the first time I saw that. So I appreciate them talking down to me, I guess. We have another one here in the same sort of campaign. This one is featuring Chris Paul. Who does Chris Paul play for?
He now plays for the Golden State Warriors.
Okay, gotcha. Oh, that's right. In fact, I'm going to skip ahead. My question is sort of relevant. Let's get into this. That's right. So he's been traded a lot.
A bunch.
Okay, so we'll go with this State Farm commercial here. He is in somebody's home, and he keeps on taking out jerseys of all the places that he's played.
I wouldn't trade this for anything.
Okay, I see. I didn't set that up well. It's a young couple that is coming into a home that they clearly just bought, right? So they're literally taking the keys, it looks like, from their agent, and they're very excited, and she wouldn't trade this for anything.
I wouldn't trade this for anything.
Trades, they work out sometimes. There's so many places to see, like Los Angeles, Houston, OKC, Phoenix, and the Bay.
We love our new house. We just have questions.
Oh, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Your State Farm agent can help you through all the unexpected moments.
I wish Bora Bora had a team.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
So instead of the word shoot making him appear out of nowhere, this time the word trade made him appear out of nowhere. And then the jingle brought in Jake from State Farm.
Now, in universe, how do we know which words have power? Because you have to say the entire jingle to summon Jake. But for some of these other magical beings, you just need to say one key word.
Yeah, and it really could be almost anything.
Yeah, related to basketball,
but I mean, trade has a lot of meanings, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
It didn't, like, bring the Fed chair or something.
Yeah, you get a stockbroker. Oh, man, I was hoping for Chris Paul.
Just Chris Paul and Ben Bernanke.
Right. Yeah.
All right, so one more of the same deal. I think the word, I can't remember what the word is. We have some woman, she's in her home, and I think that we see, like, water is leaking from the upstairs, probably a bathroom upstairs, leaking through her ceiling and pouring down, and it's a terrible situation.
Well, that's just foul.
Foul? I didn't.
So she says, that's just foul. Then who appears?
That's a stretch. But that's not going to be your response.
Yeah. Exactly. It's Chris Paul. And then
someone's going to scream fuck, and, like, you know, Ron Jeremy will appear.
Like a good neighbor. Oh, you needed Jake. One second.
I think you can, like, sort of measure somebody's generation based on who's their go-to
porn star. I know.
Genevieve and I are the Ron Jeremy.
Tragically. That's the worst one to be from.
As you were setting it up, I was like, man, where does she go? Where does she go?
We just learned so much about Genevieve. Yeah, you're right. You wouldn't say, oh, that's foul in this situation. You would say, you'd start swearing, honestly. But anyway, who pops up? But once again, it's Chris Paul and then an NBA referee. Just to be clear, Nick, that's not a referee that we should recognize. Are referees in the NBA kind of famous?
Interesting bit of casting here. Chris Paul famously does not have a great relationship with most referees, and they did an actor for this one. This is one of the rare cameo appearances that they do from the NBA or basketball world where they didn't pull a real person. I don't recognize that man. I'm pretty sure he's just an actor.
But like NBA basketball, like the refs in there are pretty well known. Like it could have been a ref that you would have recognized.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely could have been. You could have pulled Tony Brothers, for example. Okay. There's a bunch of other ones.
Angel Hernandez.
Nobody likes
him,
though.
An umpire. Okay, so I'll play this all the way through. Again, hole in the ceiling, water's coming down, woman says it's foul, Chris Paul and an anonymous ref show up arguing.
Well, that's just foul.
Foul? I didn't touch him.
That's not how I saw it, Chris. You had that man in a bear hug.
That was not a foul.
You want something to cry about? I'll give you something to cry about.
I know what a foul is.
Keep talking.
I just need help with my ceiling.
Oh, that is foul. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It's easy to file a claim with the State Farm mobile app.
Thanks.
Check the replay.
This is not my
first
time.
That is not a foul.
Like a good neighbor.
Is Jake from State Farm getting hotter?
Yes, they're definitely dressing him hotter, and I think he's more jacked.
He's way
he's got
more
like
jacked.
A satin shirt in that one.
Yeah, yes. It's noticeable. Like it jumped out at all of us. I think
it's got some sheen to it.
Yeah,
the shoulders are getting broader and broader.
And Nick, you had said that
he's hanging out with professional athletes all the time.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure it wears off.
Yeah, yeah. So you were saying that you had read a piece in, I think, the Hollywood Reporter, kind of looking at the duality of Jake from State Farm, where he's at basketball games getting dapped up by like Travis Scott or whatever, which is like, wow, that's like the epitome of celebrity. But Travis Scott probably doesn't know his real name. He probably only knows
it
as Jake.
Almost definitely does not know Jake from State Farm's real name. You know, Travis Scott is like Jake.
Yes.
Did this piece that you read, did they interview the actor at all? Like, what is his relationship with that?
Yeah, so it was in the Hollywood Reporter from February of this year, and goes into a little bit of Kevin Miles is his real name, 33-year-old guy, moved to LA wanting to be an actor, and this is the role that he popped off on. So he stuck with it. And what's weird about Jake from State Farm is that it's also a recasting too, because the original had a completely different guy. And the joke was that like, he's just some guy in an office wearing khakis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a this very, Jake from like, State Farm is active.
Not ugly, but just sort of
just a very normal looking guy.
Wearing khakis.
He went on, that guy, when they did the handoff, I don't know if you guys will recall this, but when they did the handoff introducing new hot Jake from State Farm, they had original Jake somehow involved in the ad to like kind of make it clear what the handoff was. But I have read about that guy, that actor who played the original Jake, and I think he may still be, but for a long time he was a bartender in some bar in some like town somewhere, and they had the khakis in the bar displayed.
They're still there.
They're still there.
Yeah, I think those the original Jake from State Farm khakis are like enshrined in some bar. I want to say like in the Midwest. Like,
yeah, I feel like it was in the Midwest
somewhere. But so did they actually? So they did interview Kevin, aka Jake from State Farm, for this piece.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of curious.
They
like,
did interview him for it. And what's interesting is like he's the level of famous now as Jake from State Farm that he can't go to, say, a Buffalo Wild Wings for more than like 20 minutes without somebody being like, hey, you're that guy. But nobody knows his name is Kevin. And the plot thickens in like the third to last paragraph in this thing. It's revealed that his real name is Kevin Miles Julian Mims. So even his stage name is not his real name. Nobody knows the real Kevin.
I wonder if there's probably not, but I wonder if there's some pleasure in that for him as well, that he can completely hide behind a persona, sort of.
Based on the piece, it sounds like he's kind of cursed to live up to it rather than getting to hide behind that anonymity, because people want him to be Jake from State Farm.
Yeah.
And he never gets to take off the badge.
Yeah.
You know?
I could see that. I could see that. Genevieve, you mentioned, I think when we were just maybe chatting before the show, this big New York Times piece that we, a profile of Stephanie Courtney, who does Flo from the Progressive commercials. Yeah. And we dedicated a whole show to that profile. And in that article, they mentioned that when Jake from State Farm started blowing up, Stephanie Courtney, did she reach out to him?
She did. And she introduced him and gave him the advice that she wished somebody had given her earlier in her very similar career arc, which was to get a business manager. And I think she like hooked him up with a business manager as he was quickly becoming the face of State Farm.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because that's another character who
she'll never live it down.
She'll never live it down. Although I wonder if because Flo is such a character with her hair and the way she's made up, and that I wonder if she can blend in a little bit better when she's not in the Flo character.
Maybe because he just probably looks like no matter what he's wearing, he looks like Jake from State Farm. She also they went out of their way, or as her years long campaign progressed, they gave her more characters. They kind of let her clump it up, basically.
Exactly.
So now she plays
her own grandpa and stuff.
Yeah, literally. Like she plays all the members of her family, including her narcissistic sister. And so I wonder if Jake, if they will find additional ways to let him stretch in that role. Mm. It's kind of a different role. He's not as much of like, it's not as comedic. He usually plays the straight man.
Yeah.
In these campaigns, so it'll be interesting to see what the longevity on this campaign, on his character is.
Yeah, because, you know, Stephanie Courtney is she's got a stand-up comedy background. I don't know what Jake from State Farm's, I already forgot his name.
Kevin Miles.
I don't know what Kevin Miles.
Justice for Kevin.
I don't know what Kevin Miles' background is. I'm not trying to sell him short, but I also don't want to sell short Stephanie Courtney's range. I mean, I just don't think not everybody can just play all of those different characters,
right.
You know what I mean? They're sort of taking advantage of her talent there in a way that I wouldn't just assume that anybody would be able to play their own grandfather as a photo of themselves for some reason starts to fade out. So I get nervous here as I move into this next section of the show because, let me summarize it this way. All of the videos you sent us for this one are on TikTok. So that right there is a red flag for
yes.
Old people.
I was going to ask you about
this. We're
sailing
into waters where Andrew and I are not confident.
I was going to ask you about this, but I wanted to save it for the air. Am I the first person who sent you ads on TikTok for this show?
We've probably gotten one or two from a listener before.
Yeah,
although I don't know.
Yeah,
we've
gotten
sure.
them before, and they show like that people will share them on Facebook and stuff. So it's not the very first time.
Cool.
But I literally don't have a TikTok account because President Biden told me not to, and I believe him.
You're just staying where things are safe.
I just
and good for democracy, like Facebook,
like Instagram.
No, we're not on Facebook, except for the After These Messages.
Well, Instagram is a Facebook property.
Yeah, no, that is true. That is true.
It's all meta.
But not only is this I think this is a TikTok campaign. That's one thing I want to clear up here, Nick. This is for an Adidas shoe, the Anthony Edwards shoe, AE1. And again, now we're going to get into also like kind of sneaker culture, which is, I know nothing about, but that's why you're here. But just to be clear, these ads are a social media campaign, right? Like you don't see these ads that you sent us on TikTok during like an NBA game, or do you?
I thought that I had, but here's the thing. The TikTok and the TV kind of go hand in hand. Like, I'll be watching a game, they'll go to commercial, and I'll pick up my phone and watch TikToks.
Yeah. And they know.
Watch commercials on TikTok.
Yeah.
And then you watch tennis shoe commercials on TikTok.
And the thing, and they know
that.
It all
kind of blurs together.
Does it kill you when I call them tennis shoes? I just heard myself say tennis shoes. That's not the proper terminology.
And there's some regionality to that. I think that, like British people tend to call them trainers, which if you were to call something trainers to me, that's a specific type of shoe. But so are, sneakers and tennis shoes. Call them whatever you want.
Do you know that I grew up calling Nikes Nikes? Like I didn't. Oh, wow. I thought it was a regional thing. I think maybe I was just dumb though. But I feel like everybody
if
around
the region
call
is
them
Britain.
Knights.
They call them that.
And you know, and if the region is KRS-One, because I'm pretty sure KRS-One raps about Nikes in a song as well. And then I always feel seen.
I always thought I grew up understanding that the brand was Nike, but Nike was like a just a nickname for them.
Oh really?
Grab your Nikes.
Okay. Oh, I was like super cool.
Well, let's not.
Or you were
too
forcing
far
a
ahead
rhyme.
Of- head of ourselves.
I was forcing a rhyme, exactly.
But I knew it was Nike, but I had when I would hear them called Nikes, it was just like a shorthand.
So this, again, the shoe is the AE-1, so that's named after Anthony Edwards. This is his signature shoe, but Nick, just set up this entire sort of world for us. Who's Anthony Edwards and what's going on with the
He's
shoe?
He's the star of ER. Thanks. Oh. Show over.
Oh, Goose. This is Goose?
Yeah, it's Goose.
Oh, I totally forgot that they have the same name. I'm so basketball
Welcome
filled.
Welcome to
that,
my like, world.
This is the only Anthony Edwards in my universe. The basketball Anthony Edwards is, I believe he's a fourth-year player, absolute phenom coming out of Georgia, number one pick. He's on Team USA this past summer at the World Cup in the Philippines. Was I believe their leading scorer and just such a charismatic person. I remember when he was about to be drafted, one of my favorite Anthony Edwards stories is that he went to a hibachi place, like a one of those Japanese restaurants where they cook everything right in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
He was, you know, 17, 18, didn't really understand the concept, brought his own chili from home, poured it out on the thing, and cooked it on there.
No,
and thought that that was something that he was allowed to do there, and it was wouldn't
chili?
You know, months later,
and it was
that
chili?
Got
chili.
It was chili. Which, like, why is
like
chili
a
on a griddle?
I don't know. That let's start with that.
Yeah.
That's really endearing, though. I kind of love that. There's this campaign for, I think it's Heinz ketchup that Genevieve and I have talked about a couple of times that I think we're a little bit split on. I think Genevieve likes it more than I do. But essentially, the whole thing is like it's for Heinz ketchup, but it features people bringing ketchup into places that you wouldn't usually serve
and
ketchup.
Using it on foods that you wouldn't use it on. And one of them that's very memorable is a guy arriving at a sushi bar where they do the sushi chef is doing the, you know, slicing and stuff right in front of this guy and his date. He gets the sashimi in front of him, pulls out ketchup from a ketchup holster on his ankle and douses the sushi with the filet with ketchup. And Andrew thinks that's beyond gross. I think that I'm not going to start putting ketchup on my sushi, but the way they're really stylish ads, and some of the cases that they make for putting a ketchup flavor on an unconventional item, I think is smart. Just like broadly speaking, thinking about ketchup in other contexts than burgers and fries.
That's a very smart campaign. I'm shocked that a hot sauce company didn't do that first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Reds, I put that shit on everything. I feel like kind of.
Oh, Reds.
Kind of went there.
Good
Red
point.
Reds, Red Hot. Or yeah. That would have. I can't
Frank's
remember the name.
Red
of
Hot.
Frank's Red Hot. Thank you.
Right, right. Well, let's get into this campaign. So, Anthony Edwards. Oh, and I don't think you mentioned what NBA team he plays for.
The Minnesota Timberwolves.
The Timberwolves. And they they're good? Honestly,
they're good.
Know.
I believe they're the 3 seed right now and probably the best defense in the NBA.
Gotcha. And he's the big star on the team?
The very big star. The charismatic leader of the team. They go as he goes. He's a two-way star. He can score 40 or he can get the game-clinching steal. He's an incredible player.
But and still like kind of a young guy. And so actually this first spot we'll play, and again, based on the length of this, I'm sort of guessing, like, these aren't like 30-second or 15-second spots. They're sort of odd lengths. So I'm guessing at least this version of this spot is probably social media only. He's introducing himself and all of his nicknames and his signature shoe, the AE-1.
They said I got a little buzz going. Most of y'all still don't know who I am. I'm Anthony Edwards, a.k.a. Ant-Man, a.k.a. Young Black King, a.k.a. Aren't you a quarterback? AKA, we on my time now. AKA, I don't believe in anything but myself, and you should too. AKA, I'm about to drop your favorite hooper's favorite hoop shoe. Best in the world. Believe that.
So, Nick, you said you really love the design of these commercials. Do you want to describe what we're seeing here?
Yeah, absolutely. It's this a completely orange room with this just muted, like, really gorgeous tone to it that's almost like a... if clay were luminescent in some way. And he's just standing in the room by himself talking right to the camera. And it's just very, it's attention grabbing, number one, because if you're going to put this kind of thing on TikTok, like, you have less than 5 seconds to get somebody to not scroll away from the thing. So to have something that beautiful on your screen, like, you want to tune in and watch the rest of it. And he's enough of a good reader and like a good deliverer of those lines that you stick around for the entire thing. I think that the art direction is incredible. And then that same color ends up on his inaugural colorway for his sneaker.
A color wave is like, you use that word in your notes and I wasn't sure what that meant. That's like when somebody has a signature shoe, but then they release certain, almost like color rush in the NFL, like those things. It's like color wave is a special color that will be a limited line of shoes or something.
Oh no. You can drop the V. Colorway is just saying like the black and yellow one or the red, white, and blue one. Instead of saying like all of those colors together, you can't just say color. It's a colorway.
I see.
All of the colors together, the entire palette.
Gotcha. And also, I feel like the color that you were describing in the room here, I'm pretty sure this entire campaign or these three spots that you send all use that. And to varying degrees, they use a lot of kind of negative space as well, sort of like really building up that sort of visual identification right away, which is something that I appreciate. What is the joke about when he's known as like Ant or Ant-Man or whatever, and then aren't you a quarterback? Is that a specific joke about his background?
You know what's funny? I'm so unplugged from football now that I don't totally get that joke.
Okay.
Except that, like, he kind of does look like a quarterback. I don't know.
He's bigger. He's built more like you think of a quarterback than necessarily a traditional NBA frame.
Yeah, he's not, like, slender like a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He's kind of built. He's, like, Michael Jordan's height, but more muscular.
Wow. That's an imposing man.
A ridiculous athlete.
Can you talk just real briefly about the shoes, because they have this same kind of like terracotta, like you say, this particular color of orange that's very striking and very attention grabbing. But the shoes look crazy to me. Signed, a 46-year-old white lady.
And they're meant to. They're definitely in a lineage of like. Like post Yeezy Adidas shoes, where we went through that wave of suddenly the textiles are good and structural enough that you can have shoes that are basically socks with a nice sole on them that you can use for athletics. Thinking like the Adidas NMDs or the Yeezy 350s that you saw everywhere that are like the gigantic sole and then just like a cloth upper, basically. Mm-hmm. So this one kind of takes that lineage and adds in, you know, I'm not totally sure what the material is. It's not a rubber, but it's probably some form of plastic that's flexible, that creates like a cage around the foot almost in a honeycomb pattern.
Yeah, it's like a lattice that it's made of.
Yeah, with like that hexagonal pattern around your feet. And it's meant to look kind of futuristic and like nothing else that you've seen before. And Adidas has been really good at stuff like that. Like, they've been putting out really good James Harden shoes for years now, but nobody likes them because nobody really likes James Harden. Now they can start.
Is that really true?
It kind of is, yeah.
Why don't people like James Harden? He's one of the few guys
beard?
I can recognize from the NBA.
Yeah, he's the guy with the big beard that we talk about sometimes, yeah.
I mean, you know that America doesn't like a loser. And he's had some really high profile like playoff losses.
That's the Trumpiest thing I've ever heard you say, by the way, Nick.
I'm just telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth.
That also sounds like Trump.
Wow.
Oh, man, you're right. Okay.
Wow. Your reputation is taking a hit today.
It's not good for me. You know what? Follow me on Truth Social.
Hey, Veeves, why can't we get more people to join us on the show?
Look, he knew what he signed up for.
I don't know why. I just was mentioning this to friends the other day, and it sort of was a conversation stopper, so I probably shouldn't bring it up. But I, as you might guess, don't spend a lot of time on Truth Social. I've never even really seen it before. But on Instagram, somebody had like screen capped some, you know, ridiculous, awful thing that somebody had posted there. And I saw, it was like basically the first time I'd seen what it looks like, and it just looks like a tweet or whatever. But at the bottom, you know how there's a heart if you like something. I don't know if they have a heart or a gun or what it is.
Yeah, there's a gun if you like it.
But then next to it is a little button where you can you can retruth it. And there was something.
You can retruth it?
That is wild. That is some Orwellian language manipulation.
So I was just like, oh yeah, hey, oh yeah, I retruth this thing. It's just like so. And they're just
you
like,
put retruths are not endorsement in the bio.
Oh
yeah.
My god.
That's so great.
What's right. happening?
I'm going to play at least one more of these Anthony Edwards spots that you sent us. And again, this one has kind of same color scheme, terracotta, as Genevieve mentioned, kind of in the background, but really well lit and like beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just wearing like a you know, very obviously yeah, a very clean,
he's handsome
bright
in the
white
face area for
he's
sure.
He's handsome in the face
definitely
area.
True.
My guess is probably all the areas, although I haven't spent a lot of time in the space yet. But in this one, he's looking up. Somebody has taken one of his shoes, one of his AE1s, and they've balanced it way on top of a basketball backboard, right? Am I remembering this correctly?
That's correct.
And you hear a voice, a disembodied voice, just kind of saying, you're not going to be able to reach that. And then he disagrees.
Hey, you can't grab that, man.
I can't. You sure about that?
Nah, you can't.
You see these shoes? They saying can't ain't even in my vocabulary. Ooh, that was nice. That's that jet boost. Kids, when they tell you can't, tell them Aunt did. Believe that.
So that is another very, I love the way that is shot. It starts with a close up on his face, but then it backs away and again really takes advantage of that colored background
yeah.
and, mm-hmm. and a lot of negative space.
Now
as
it's
he
shot from above
and
he
it.
Launches up and grabs it mm-hmm. off the backboard. But I would like to see that in profile.
Yeah, you're dubious as to whether or not he did that.
Show me in profile.
You don't think he's jumping 12 feet into the air?
I would just like to see it is all I'm saying.
This is the type of misinformation that TikTok is spreading.
I am retruthing this
that
one.
Nancy Pelosi is so concerned about. Now, this next one is, see, this next one left me deeply confused the first time I saw it, but it was, I watched this one first, so I didn't really know who he was, and this has a very specific point of view. All of these has a very specific point of view for us as the viewer, and in this one, it's almost like we, the viewer, are in a duffel bag, almost, right? And it's Anthony Edwards and another person.
It's like every movie where they open up a trunk and you look
yes,
up at the,
exactly.
the mobsters who have put you there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do we know who his friend is in this? Is this another famous person?
I'd have to check again, but I want to say okay. that's Jalen Williams for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Okay, gotcha. And so that's interesting too. So you do have other basketball players advertising or sponsoring or at least promoting other players' shoes. That's
yeah. So like
thing.
You'll have some players that play in Jordan shoes, some players that play in, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo's shoes, or other players who wear Jordan's, Kobe's, for example.
That's interesting. So is it almost sort of like a camp, like a separate like kind of camp of players? Like, because you're obviously these players are spread across teams, but you're like Team Kobe shoe or whatever. Like, do they get together? Do they have conferences?
It can be like explicit. Like, for example, Jason Tatum of the Boston Celtics is signed to Jordan specifically, not just Nike, but to Jordan,
uh-huh.
as is Luka Doncic from the Dallas Mavericks. But then you'll have players who wear a shoe because they're on the NBA team with that player. Okay. Like Chris Middleton will wear Giannis's shoes because Giannis is on his team.
Uh-huh.
Interesting one for the Bucks is that Damian Lillard is now also on that team. So like some of the team wears Dames and some of them wear Giannis. I would
Ooh.
Love to ask everybody in the locker room like how they decided to go which
oh
way.
Oh my God, that would be the best conversation. Yeah. Why has not some sports journalist not had that conversation
yeah,
yet?
Yeah, is it awkward and is there sort of like almost like campaigning before
yes,
rocking
right
the
like
sneaker.
Come on over to my side
because that's the thing, they all have both shoes because players will usually like if somebody has a signature line it's kind of polite and kind of like cultural now to give the entire team a gift of like here's a pair of my shoes from this
yeah.
year.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such
so
a
everybody
thing
has
that.
Them like
that's
you
such a
can
weird
wear
thing,
them
though.
You're choosing to wear the other players.
Yeah.
Is anybody AC/DC about it, one shoe one day, the other shoe another day?
PJ Tucker, which, man, I can't even remember what team he's on now. I think he's on the Clippers now. But he famously travels with, like, double-digit pairs of shoes on road trips so that he's worn a pair of shoes in the first half and then a different rare pair in the second half of a game before.
Wow.
He needs to do left shoe, right shoe. He can wear that two would different be, pairs at the same time.
Can you
time.
Imagine trying to play? And these shoes are so architectural. Like, it would feel like wearing like a high heel on one foot and a work boot on the other. It'd be so weird.
One shoe is like the old school Adidas, like from Run DMC, and the other one is the AE1.
Right.
Now play basketball.
One of them's an all-star. One of them's a Converse
the
all-star.
The technology is just not even comparable at all.
Which is basically just a piece of cardboard on the bottom of your foot.
So I want to play this commercial, but it might not translate super well for our listening audience, but it's the same campaign. But again, we're sort of like the perspective of a duffel bag while who are we talking about again? While Anthony Edwards is pulling like, I guess, shoes from other competitors.
He's pulling the actual signature shoes of other players out of this bag that we're in the perspective of and kind of tossing them away, saying that they're all trash and his shoe is the one.
And these are all non-Adidas shoes, I'm assuming. Adidas doesn't want him trashing other Adidas shoes.
And they beep out the name of the shoes, so you see them, mm-hmm. but you're just going to hear a lot of beeps as he holds these shoes
no
up.
No one's going to top that.
No one's touching the 81s. Pick a shoe. Nah, they ain't messing with them. Nah, they ain't messing with them. Ain't nothing. How about your boy? Man, these ain't nothing. They dead. Hell no.
So he's taking these signature shoes.
I recognize the first one wore Jordans because I could see the little Jordan figure famously. I recognize that. But then this last one he threw was a bright red one. Is that a famous one?
They all must be pretty famous.
So a technical thing for the audience, a little peek behind the curtain. I can't watch this at the same time as you while we're recording. Yeah. But if I remember right, he pulls out a Puma LaMelo Ball shoe, Ja Morant one, a Zion Williamson one, which would be a Jordan one. And I can't remember what the fourth one is.
But could this actually create a little bit of friction, though, between him and these other players?
Yes, it could. This was the splashiest ad of the bunch, and this is the one that really caught my attention, which is why I sent them to you out of order, because I like this one the most. Uh-huh. Because nobody does this anymore. Nobody's taking direct aim at other people's stuff in the NBA anymore because players get traded so much, like Chris Paul was saying, that you can end up on a team with like your mortal enemy in a couple months.
Just ask Chris Paul.
Exactly. You don't want to be trashing people and then have to end up on a team with them. But what he's doing in this ad is bold for the reason that he is explicitly like holding the shoe in his hand and then throwing it because it's a piece of garbage.
It's real shit talk. I mean,
it's incredible. And really, like, Anthony Edwards is one of the most likable players in the league right now. And I don't know who else could even pull this off.
Mm-hmm. Without it being almost too toxic.
Yeah. Jimmy Butler, for example, if Jimmy did this, people would take it a little too seriously because Jimmy Butler can joke about stuff, but he's also been known to kind of take teammates to task behind the scenes in a not very fun way.
And James Harden, forget about it.
Yeah, James Harden. People would be trashing him if he did this.
You mentioned another thing, too, going back to the sort of look of these shoes. And again, I just think that, like, sneakers have come so far from what I even identify as a sneaker.
I can barely tell
space age foam now. We're entombing our feet in space age foam, sort of. But you had said that, like, I think it was a former basketball player showed up at a game as somebody to watch the game and was wearing the AE1s with jeans just as like a casual shoe. And that sort of sparked a debate about whether or not you can wear these shoes with jeans. Do I have that right?
You do have that right. So let me turn back the clock for you around like 15, 20 years when, you know, Wiz Khalifa was really popping off. We had that type of rap, you know, Big Sean, people like that. Wale, for example, a huge person for this scene, was wearing basketball shoes, like the technical sports shoe with denim on the daily just as part of their outfits. And fashion has moved away from that because, you know, it's not a great look. It looks kind of goofy. You're wearing like a technical piece of footwear casually and you look kind of like a tryhard. But
I didn't realize that because I thought that that's what they were doing. Like, I grew up obviously in the age where like
you
wanted to get your Air Jordans, not because you were a hooper, but just because you wanted to wear them to school.
Yeah, I would say the most popular Air Jordans now are the retros for that reason. Like the Air Jordan 1 is kind of coming off a crest now, but there were a few years there where like you couldn't leave the house without seeing somebody wearing an Air Jordan 1. And that's from 1985, that model is. And like that's like if you give it a little bit of age so that it can patina into where it needs to be fashion-wise and no longer be seen as a technical piece of footwear, it looks a lot better with a casual outfit. But the AE1s, what was splashy about them is that people love them so much that former player Gilbert Arenas, which, callback actually, his nickname was Hibachi because he was always really hot from the floor.
Yeah.
And he like took a picture of him in an unreleased colorway wearing them with jeans, and this just ignited like sneaker discourse for days as people were relitigating whether or not you should be wearing court shoes off the court or not.
It That's sounds how like much a rich like culture.
I mean, that, and it's an election year. Right. I just sort of feel know, like there's so much division.
So divisive.
In this country. Where do you stand on all that?
Yeah, I'm curious.
What jeans like, you wear with your sneakers says about you?
Right, yeah, no, but for real, like, do you feel like this could actually be the beginning of a return to that sort of vibe of wearing these shoes, or is it just, like, sort of laughable?
I think that fashion is incredibly fragmented right now, and you'll have people trying anything and everything. I think that like Gen Z in particular, like the young 20 somethings, are so thrift and like archival focused that they just throw on anything and everything together, and it makes zero sense to somebody who doesn't get it.
Nick, let me tell you, I so agree with your assessment. I was going to say something similar. I do a lot of sewing now. I kind of took up sewing in the last year.
Cool.
So I, you know, just because when you're interested in something, it starts getting served to you in various ways on your social platforms. And I get served a lot of like other people who do DIY sewing projects. And what I have, and then the algorithm keeps serving more and more to me of young men, usually men like boys, but you know, from like 18 to 25 or so. And they take like ugly old blankets, the kind of like you know, like Afghan that would be on your grandma's couch, or some hideous like, you know, Christmas quilt or something, and then they upcycle them into like streetwear, basically, right? Like hoodies and like big pants, and like more and more I'm seeing that like it's exactly the look you're talking about, where it's like very DIY, very upcycled, very like consciously ironic about the textiles and the fabric being used, but being put into service of like a very like kind of like street look,
kind of a chaotic look.
It's a little chaotic, but I mean some of the creations that these, and for some reason it does tend to be, I'm sure that it's both sexes, but what's getting served to me are young men doing the sewing and the fashion like design, and it's really, it's so cool to see, but it's just so counterintuitive from what you might expect. Or at least my generation would have expected.
Yeah, I think the link to the AE1 to kind of that chaos fashion is that for a lot of the outfits that like don't really seem to make sense from an outside point of view, is that internally each of those pieces will have a story for that person. Like, oh, I thrifted this when I was at this particular shop. This thing I upcycled, my pants I made out of a blanket.
Yes.
The shoes are, you know, Anthony Edwards 1 because I respect what they're doing with the technology and I like the athlete. You know, everything has a story. And in that way, I think like some people will really start trying wearing these.
I love that. I think I like all of my objects to have a story too. I'm a big thrifter, upcycler. I'm the same way. So I really respect that about their style.
I love Genevieve so much for so many different reasons, and I just want to get that out there. But I got to say,
boy.
One of the,
what a wind up.
One of our cat. Right as I said that, my cat jumped on me from
he said,
the window.
You leave her alone.
Above. Yeah. Really jumped to your defense before I even said anything. But one of the funniest things I ever saw was when you, and I think this happened a couple of times, and this goes back several years, when you would come home from like a resale shop for like clothes, you were so furious at modern fashion. And but, this is like five, you came home with a rant of a middle-aged lady just saying, these kids do not know how to dress these days.
And let me say, I was right about that. That was like the normcore era.
Oh, yeah,
we're
right.
We're moving past that into this more chaotic, where it might be ugly in a certain way of thinking about it, where it's like it's not, nothing's very like matchy or whatever, or it's like using these, as I said, like counterintuitive or unconventional textiles or patterns or whatever, but at least it's not boring. I would go to like a resale shop and everything in it looked like what I think of as like a Microsoft middle manager outfit.
And the high-waisted pants.
Oh my God, the high, like with pleats and, you know, just like, and but not ugly in an, even in an interesting way, just ugly in a boring way. So I stand by that assessment. I'm glad that era seems to be crested.
I'm sure it'll come back. These things have a tendency to do that.
Pleated pants are back.
What's that?
I said pleated pants are back.
I mean, and the high waist pant, I think, is here to stay for a long time. Like, no question, like low rise jeans, are just lampooned relentlessly. Like, I get it. That's fine. They had their purpose, but I get it. So, but like I said, like I said, some of the stuff you might describe as, or at least we would have described it as ugly, but it's almost like self-consciously ugly in a certain way. And it's over the top and it's in its kind of extremeness.
One of your first projects on me when we were first dating was to get me off of the pleated pants.
Yeah,
train.
And I stand by that. And you're too old to wear pleated pants.
I did not have a ponytail when I met you, right? Haven't you said that if I still had that ponytail,
that
we wouldn't
sell.
Have been together?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You were able to put up with the pleated pants. You're like, I can fix that.
Yeah.
But if I had rolled into town.
Oh, I could have fixed that ponytail, too.
If I had rolled into town with both pleated pants and a ponytail, we wouldn't have this podcast right now, let alone this beautiful home. All right, so let's move on to talk about Jimmy Butler here. Jimmy Butler, we mentioned him earlier in the show, and I think this is really fascinating that and he plays for the Miami Heat still, right? Actually, can we do a little thing here? Because I am obsessed with this podcast that is on constantly, and it happens to be a Miami-based podcast, I feel like I know more about Jimmy Butler, or at least I feel like that name is more familiar to me than most of these other players. So he plays for the Miami Heat. Tell me what I'm right and wrong about with Jimmy Butler. Is it true is it true that his reputation is that he doesn't really start playing until the postseason? And that he's not very good in the regular season, and then he turns it on.
Oh, thank you with the bell. Yeah, that's definitely true. They've got a reputation for that. I think they're like the 9 or the 10 seed, and they're just planning to like actually turn it on for the playoffs.
Yeah, and maybe turn it on right before the playoffs to get into the playoffs, and then he'll be like, would they call him Playoff Jimmy? Do they actually call him that, or do they just say that on the show I listen to?
No, they do. He's Playoff Jimmy. There was, man. Never mind. I was going to describe a meme, which is never fun.
So there's a horse, and he's in the window, and it says, soon.
Here's why it's funny.
I mean, honestly, that might be all I know. I mean, you referenced earlier that Jimmy Butler is a little bit bossy towards his teammates as well, because he's a veteran in the league, right?
He is a veteran. So he's had some kind of messy divorces from his teams in the past. And when he's gone back to play against them, he's let them know that they kept the wrong person instead of him. And even when he was on other teams, I think it was on the Minnesota Timberwolves, actually, he was just lambasting Karl Anthony Towns for being soft and like how he can't win in the playoffs with him.
So that's a yes on bossy?
Yeah, very bossy.
To ring the bell. Is he also the guy? I might be describing something that isn't even a basketball player here. Is he also the guy who somewhat recently had to backtrack a divorce? You mentioned divorce, which made me think of this. Did he have to backtrack a divorce from his new wife recently, too? Or am I getting into that's not him?
I don't think so.
Okay, we can.
I don't think he's ever been married.
We need the buzzer.
There are no buzzers for me. I don't buzz myself. So Jimmy Butler.
All cheese, no
G's. He's a little irascible. He's been in the league for a while. He's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder, and he basically kind of really turns on the Heat when it gets to be playoff season.
If you will.
If you will. I didn't even do that on purpose. And he also, and this is the interesting thing for like from our point of view, what you mentioned earlier is that like he is a spokesperson or promotes several different brands, but then sort of mixes it all up together. So when he's like, for example, doing a hotels.com ad, which we'll see in a second, he might be wearing, what is the yoga, what is the athleisure wear?
Aloe.
Yeah, he might be wearing that in that ad, or drinking the water that he promotes while he's taking, while he's doing a commercial for some, I don't know,
supplements
and another ad for supplements, but he's drinking the water that he promotes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So in that State Farm commercial earlier, he's wearing aloe clothes. And then in this hotels.com one, he's sniffing coffee, and he kind of famously started a coffee brand inside the NBA bubble during COVID when they brought back the NBA in that really limited space. He started selling coffee to people and then launched
a coffee brand.
Yeah, so in this ad, he's sniffing coffee. And then in another one, another aloe ad, he's taking his aloe supplements with Essentia water, which he also promotes. And then in other ads, it's hard to tie Michelob Ultra into anything else because it's so obvious. But I wouldn't put it past him. He'll figure out another way. But in almost all of these ads, he's wearing aloe clothes.
Interesting. And as Genevieve mentioned, that there's not a big label that says aloe or anything on it. It's just the style.
But it is very luxe looking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so in this one, you mentioned coffee. Now, this, to be clear, this is for hotels.com. And we see him sitting outside in sort of a very nice looking cafe, like in Southern California looking cafe somewhere. It's him and one other person at the table. And we're supposed to know who this other person is as well.
NBA fans will recognize him as Miami Heat rookie sensation Jaime Jaquez.
Who plays for... Do they play on the same... Do
yes,
they both
he said
play on the
Heat.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're both sitting at this table. They both have two cups of coffee in front of them. One is more of a standard size mug, and the other one is like a little espresso size cup. And they both have two cups in front of them. And Jimmy Butler, without saying anything, is just like kind of holding his face down to the mugs and taking a big... deep inhale of one and then taking a big deep inhale of another, and then Jaquez starts following his lead. And you can see that Jaquez is literally just doing, he just keeps on looking up at Jimmy Butler to see, like, am I doing this right?
Yeah,
like,
he's definitely looking to for something to model.
Exactly. I don't even think he knows why he's doing it.
I love a good side-by-side comparison, especially on the hotels.com app.
So then it just says compare hotels side by side. And so I guess the joke here is that they play on the same team, but he's the veteran and here he is with this rookie, and the rookie is just like looking to him to model his behavior.
Yeah, he's the worldly old vet who's putting his rookie onto something better than he knew before.
One thing that I like is at the very end, Jaquez, the young guy, takes a sip and then kind of winces. I don't know if you noticed that or if you remember from watching it. It's kind of like he takes a sip and after all of this like coffee cupping and smelling and the aroma and everything, he takes a sip and it looks like he doesn't like coffee, which I really like for the young kid.
I didn't notice that, but that's such a good detail.
I like the performances, but I don't think it's a great pitch for hotels.com.
The side-by-side.
The side-by-side thing. Like it's... It takes too long to get to the like pitch that they're making or whatever, and it's like it sort of takes you out of it because you're so focused on coffee and like the dynamic between these two performers that I feel like I could see that 50 times and not remember that it was for hotels.com.
Do you think you would feel differently if you immediately identified these two people the way Nick can and
kind
of know the background?
I mean, that always helps with anything to not have to do that mental calculation. So I don't know. Like if it was like, you know, two performers I'm intimately familiar with, would I be more... because I like I don't dislike watching the little narrative. I just don't think it does a good job of what it's supposed to do.
Nick, do I hear, is that your new kitten I hear in the background?
it's my old cat. I mean, older by 1 year, but yeah, that's Kodak you hear in the background. He
also
has woken up from his,
though.
Oh, thank you.
You have a new kitten as well. And they're getting along like gangbusters.
Yeah, they're so sweet together.
I'll send you some pics after this.
Nice, nice. Can we include them in the show notes?
Yeah, you got to spell it right, though.
Okay, good. All right, so this next commercial, I don't even know, do we need to play? Oh, wait, okay, before we move on, there's another Hotels.com one, and it's the same setup, sort of. It's Jimmy Butler and Jaquez, but this time they are in what looks like a very nice steam room. What would you call it?
Sauna.
The thing is, they mention a sauna later. A sauna is more...
Dry heat. Okay, yeah, this seems to be like a steam.
This is like a steam room. And they're both sitting in there wearing nothing but towels, it looks like, around their waist. But each of them, the two basketball players, are each holding up like their sport coats. The idea being that a good way to get wrinkles out of your clothes is to take them into a steamy room, right? There's also just some random third guy there as well who they're not really engaging with. But he's not holding anything. It's just our stars who are holding their sport coats.
How long is it going to take?
The hotel spa is the quickest way to get the wrinkles out. Trust.
Okay, now the random guy, the third guy in the room, just gets up and leaves.
He can't stand the heat, huh?
So Hawkins tries to make that joke, and Jimmy Butler does not bite at all. He just kind of looks at him. And so Hawkins looks kind of like sad that his joke didn't land as he's looking up to Jimmy Butler there. And I assume that that's to the degree that that's a joke, is it's a Miami Heat joke? Can't stand the heat?
Yeah, it's a Miami Heat joke. It's like the easiest joke you could have written right there.
Yes.
Right. Which is why they play it as like Jimmy doesn't even think that's funny.
Yes. And Hawkins looks really like kind of disappointed in himself. Basically, he looks like
a
hotter
like a
version
puppy.
Of myself after I end the show every week. I'm just like, oh, that didn't go so well. Okay, so anyway, so now I think Jimmy Butler's gonna say, okay, now it's time to go to the sauna to dry these out.
Let's hit the sauna. It's time to dry. This is a two-part process.
So now as they leave the steam room and Jaquez sort of follows him out, I thought this might happen. The random guy comes back right as they're leaving, and he's holding a sport coat. It wasn't that he couldn't stand the heat.
He wanted in on the process. I like that tag.
Yeah, that one probably works for me a little bit better. It looks like, and I'm not going to play it here because I haven't previewed it, and I don't think it was in your notes, Nick, but have you seen it? It looks like there's a third in this series with these two, and they're in hammocks somewhere. Has that come across your radar yet?
I'm not sure if I've seen that one, but they all kind of fall into... Like, the appeal of them is, don't you want to hang out with Jimmy Butler? Like, isn't he this worldly NBA vet who can teach you some things and show you some things? Like,
yeah, I actually really love. I love the dynamic of having a rookie who's kind of enamored with his older colleague and wants to impress him. I like that dynamic. You know, Tom Brady and Gronk had famously a strong chemistry, and they did some fun ads together playing off of that. I think there should be more of that, like in team friendships and chemistry. Is people are really into that, and like there's a lot of value there in using it for storytelling.
Yeah, to go back to Chris Paul a little bit, I always thought that as he was getting traded from team to team, he would put his teammates from the NBA in his State Farm ad. So to bring up James Harden again, James Harden would appear in some of those. And then when he got traded off of Houston, where James Harden was at the time, to, I think, Phoenix after that, then Devin Booker would start showing up in them and things like that. And I think it's cool for Jimmy Butler to put a younger player in it who's not quite a star yet and not just like have this constellation of stars in the ad, but instead have a bit more of a dynamic and a bit more like story there that you can suss out over several different ads rather than like, and don't you recognize this player too?
Yeah, it's sort of like a hand up, like a, you know, keeping the ladder down, leaving the ladder down behind you.
Exactly.
Genevieve, get that bell handy and be prepared to make a wrong answer buzzer sound on me if I got that. I think I just remembered one more thing about Jimmy Butler. And if I'm right about this, it's by far the most charming thing about him. I know I've heard people talk about this a lot. I just don't know if I have the right player. For press day, right before the season begins, is he known for either wearing a wig or styling his hair in a ridiculous way so that his official portrait throughout the season is this one snapshot of him having a ridiculous hairdo, even though that's not how he usually wears it?
So he started doing this 2 years ago. 2 years ago, he wore locks. He wore locks for his official photo and then did not have them at all for the actual season.
Okay.
So when they were showing graphics during the game, it would be like this player with long locks. And then on the court, he did not look like that at all, which, you know, some members of the audience might find confusing because they don't change their hair that often. And then this season, he had like flat ironed his hair and done like the emo swoop across his face.
I never even saw it. I just heard it described. He went total emo, right?
It was,
and
now so he's good.
I love it.
I think
he even had like the lip piercing that you would see like from those pop punk days. Oh, so good.
And I think there's some band that just like some, it's not Nickelback, but he
Fallout Boy.
Fallout Boy. He's in the new Fallout Boy video, right? With that hairdo.
Yes, he is.
As like a little meta joke. Like that seems really charming to
me.
Like
really
anybody
good.
Who's like willing to be a little pranky, but they're mostly pranking themselves and just sort of generally speaking the media.
Just having fun.
Sort of, yeah.
And it's hard. It's like, yeah, it's not, there's nothing, not that a prank can't have a victim, they can, but like I like that it's just enjoyment of like the media landscape and having fun with it and with his image and his brand.
Especially
that, and the target
me.
Of that joke is either himself or the league, which people are totally cool with him joking about.
Yeah,
either way, yeah. And like I also like it because if he is somewhat irascible and this veteran who can, you know, who also kind of has a chip on his shoulder with, you know, former teams or whatever, to know that he's sort of playful in this way too, like I like that balance of personality there. And it actually legitimately makes me look, I again have not watched an NBA game since I was rooting for the Miami Heat in the bubble because of this podcast that I listened to. They were playing the Lakers, right?
Yep, they lost. The Lakers won that one.
The Lakers ended up winning, yeah. Wait, no, the Lakers won in the bubble? Oh, I thought the Heat ended up winning. Huh, I guess
nope.
It doesn't matter. I think I know a little bit more about this than
I can,
you.
So for the listeners, we're all on camera for this. I'm wearing my shirt for the Lakers winning the in-season tournament this year. I can go switch shirts to the commemorative one I have for them winning the bubble championship if you want.
Where's your the Heat one shirt, Andrew?
I guess I don't get a bell for that one. But anyway. Okay, so I don't know if I really want to play this next commercial, only because I don't know if it's going to really work for our audio audience, but it's for, again, that Aloe brand, and it's labeled here officially on their YouTube page as Aloe Yoga. So I take it that they are basically all kinds of sort of wellness. It's not just the clothes, but also he's taking like these recovery pills for after his workout. Is that what's going on in this ad?
Yeah, this ad, it isn't very good audio, but the gist of it is he's doing like a cold tub recovery, and he's also taking aloe supplements, and it's the kind of lifestyle storytelling in the ad that kind of connects you to the rest of his image and everything else, where he's wearing these clothes in the other stuff. He looks, you know, happy, healthy, his body moves the way he means it to move, kind of thing. And also in this ad, when he's taking the supplements, he's drinking Essentia water, and just knowing what I knew from what I saw in the other ads, I was like, well, he must have an essential water deal too then. And sure enough, he does.
Really?
And
like, so you actually sussed that out. You noticed the label, then reversed, looked it up, and you were right.
Yep. And how do you think the money piece of that works? Like, does Essentia just like send him an extra little cherry on top check when he works it into, I mean, there must be some kind of deal making going on between all these brands.
There has to be, because they're all buying into like the Jimmy Butler cinematic universe of like this guy who wears yoga equipment to everything. And
Aloe Yoga is not just like free. They're not just like letting any old brand piggyback on their marketing budget.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
They must be in on the. They must be getting a cut.
Imagine what a set for a shoot like that is like, with all of the people, all of the different interests and everything. You can't just grab your water bottle and be like, this is what I'm going to walk on set with, right?
Holding it conspicuously, label out. As you take
label out.
Somebody should have checked that. Okay, I'm excited for this next one because it's the only one on the list that I literally haven't seen yet, which was kind of an oversight on my part, but I'm going to turn it into a bonus. So after all of this sort of wellness stuff and the sort of like the fine living of hotels.com. What is going on with this Michelob Ultra ad also starring Jimmy Butler?
Oh, this I think was the genesis of Jimmy Butler's like run of really good ads and why him and his team are kind of trusted with all of this stuff. So when he was on Team USA for the Olympic team, I believe this was 2016. There was a viral video of him and Kyrie Irving, another great basketball player, actually plays for the Dallas Mavs here in Dallas. singing on the team plane and kind of delighting some teammates and annoying other ones. And people just loved the video. And it really gave like a peek behind, like, at that time, it wasn't clear if he was a, you know, a team wrecker because he kept on getting treated, or if he wasn't the problem and like the people around him were, kind of thing. And this is one of the videos that really started to turn people to Jimmy Butler's side.
Because he was bringing people together as opposed to being kind of a divisive basketball figure.
Yeah, you're like, how could you hit him? He's such a goofball kind of thing. You know, what a prankster.
So that's the viral video. That was in 2016. And now this commercial looks like this is at least a couple of years old, but probably not as old as that, right? Or how?
Yeah, not as old as that, but it heavily references it because in this one, he's kind of doing his off-key singing, "Aren't I Charming Because I'm Such a Goofball" thing.
Okay, and again, I haven't watched it, so I kind of can't set it up, but it looks like he's on an airplane. Is he on the team plane here? He's not flying coach.
They reference it as heavily as they can. I think that they couldn't get the exact same song, so it's a different song, but he's on the team plane, and same thing again, like some teammates are into it and some of them aren't.
Come on, Jimmy, give us one.
I won't dance.
Oh, yes, I will.
I won't sing. I just want to love you, but you won't.
I did not have it being Hootie and the Blowfish. I did not. Of all of the songs, I wasn't imagining that. So he starts by just sitting in his seat, and there's a bottle of Michelob Ultra just sort of on his little tray table there. And then somebody encourages him to start singing. So he gets up, and he's sort of dancing through the aisles.
Come on, Jimmy, give us one.
I won't dance.
Oh, yes, I will.
I won't sing. I just want to love you, but you want to wear my ring. Well, there's nothing I can do. I only want to be with you.
You're welcome.
So as he's singing, like, all of his teammates are like shooting him on their phones and kind of waking up from wherever they've been, like, sleeping somewhere on this plane, and kind of just like getting into the moment with him. It's very cute.
I love that. That is charming.
So they were able to get
Hootie
and the Blowfish. What was the song they couldn't get from the real video?
I want to say it was like Michelle Branch. Thousand
you
Miles.
You send me a link to it. Do you want to hear?
Can you drop in that video, Andrew?
Yeah, let me see. So this is
the actual viral video. A news one. Yeah.
Yeah, and it looks like this is only about 30 seconds or so long anyway.
And I need you. Yeah. And I miss you. And now I wonder.
Look at Katie. Look at Katie.
Oh. So that's interesting. They even, you know, I'm watching this backwards because I watched the commercial that references it first, but you see somebody kind of totally like wearing a blanket. They're just trying to sleep.
They really reference a lot of the pieces from the viral video. I see they kind of recreated it with a little bit higher quality of production, but basically it's a different song with the same vibe.
And a Michelob Ultra.
And the Michelob Ultra. That's really, both of those are really, really charming. We have one more from Nick before we get into Genevieve's basketball commercials, which we're going to see
loosely
sort of
defined.
A shift in the approach to producing a show about basketball commercials between Genevieve and Nick. But this next commercial is a pretty straightforward commercial for Gatorade featuring Damian Lillard. What do we need to know about Damian?
Oh, so I sent this one to you because I think you've done an episode on this before, but like kind of ad icks, things that you see in an ad that just take you completely out of it and then you can't focus on anything else but this detail in it. And Damian Lillard, huge NBA pitch man right now. He has so many different ads, and Gatorade is one of his big ones. And in this one, the opening shot, it's close in on his face. He's holding a bottle of Gatorade right next to it. And then the camera angle changes, and he's still holding a bottle of Gatorade up by his face. And every time I see it, I'm like, what? Why is the bottle still up there? Why did you shoot it this way?
It's not a continuity error because he's doing it right, but it's like one of those things where when you're in a close shot of somebody's face in a commercial and they're holding the product up to their face, it doesn't strike you immediately as weird because it's just kind of like, oh yeah, here's me and I'm talking about this bottle and I'm looking into the camera, right?
But when you see it from far away, it looks bonkers.
But then they cut back and you see him walking, and now you see the wider shot and he's walking across a basketball court, but he's walking around holding his bottle
almost like a phone to his face.
Yes, exactly. Almost like it's on his shoulder sort of, and you're like, wait, what an uncomfortable way to hold that bottle. Yeah. So I don't think I would have ever noticed that, Nick. But it's just one of those things that it just kind of drives you bananas. And probably the more you see the commercial, the more angry you get.
My brother had a thing like that with, I forget what it was for, but there was some scene in a bar where somebody says they're going to buy a round for everybody, but people start cheering before they could possibly have gotten the message that he was going to buy a round for everyone.
Yes. And isn't there like one person in the crowd that drives your brother crazy?
Yeah. Because
she's like looking the wrong direction.
She reacts. She's looking the wrong direction, but yet reacts as if she's seeing what's happening, which is because she was directed to see, pretend she knows what's happening.
Yeah. And I think I watched that a whole bunch and I couldn't quite get it,
but it just got in
his
head.
I understand that feeling. I mean, for me, a lot of times it's radio ads too. Like one just very small piece of copy that doesn't line up. I mean, we've done whole shows about this that nobody listens to. We usually dedicate in the baseball season about midway through, we usually dedicate one show to me just complaining about AM radio commercials that I hear during Mariners games, and nobody listens to them. But the last time we did the show, didn't we call, we titled the show like the best episode of
we called it our most popular episode
ever. That's right.
As a joke. And then because that was the only description of it in like the podcast, you know, like thing, it actually got a lot of listens. I think people thought that it was like a good episode they should listen to.
Oh,
they're like,
one.
I'm giving the show a try. This seems to be the one.
Which is really bad for us.
Yeah.
Now that I think
poor marketing
it.
On our part.
But it's interesting to like post a brand new show and call it our most popular episode. And then it ends up being true. All right. So anyway, in this one, so that was just a little nitpick that Nick has, But the plot of this commercial is that if you're not drinking Gatorade, if you're just drinking water or something that doesn't help you recover from your activity, like as he kind of interacts with various people playing sports, they literally disappear. I think if I'm remembering that correctly, like if you don't drink Gatorade, you're going to disappear after your workout.
Every year, thousands of athletes disappear in clutch moments due to falling hydration levels.
I used to go missing all the time. I let everyone down. I even let Shannon Sharp down.
I don't know if I watched this closely before. I didn't remember that Shannon Sharp is in this. So we see some young kid. I'm assuming a high school, maybe college. No, this looks like a high school basketball player.
And do people need to know who Shannon Sharp is? He's a sports commentator.
And a former wide receiver?
One of the best tight ends of all time.
He was a tight end. Okay, so he was a receiver. But anyway, so we see this young athlete, and he's about to take, I think, a free throw shot, although my knowledge of basketball could use some.
He's standing at the free throw line.
Yeah.
You can own that.
I also... I'm not joking. What you also heard, though, is me being afraid to say free throw. I find it to be a difficult thing to say.
Yeah.
So anyway, right as this kid is about to take his shot, he disappears from the court. And then we see this kid kind of in a confessional sort of booth, like if it was a reality TV show. And he's saying, yeah, I used to disappear all the time. I let everybody down, including Shannon Sharp. And then we cut to Shannon Sharp, who looks like he's outside gardening or something.
Hydration levels.
I used to go missing all the time. I let everyone down. I even let Shannon Sharp down.
You let me down.
They've been told how you feel yourself doesn't matter. That electrolytes are all the same.
And just like that, they're gone.
Get yourself back in the game. Get yourself a Gatorade. Could be the difference between dominating and disappearing.
Gatorade, rehydrate, replenish, refuel.
That's really funny. I think when I was doing show prep before, I just sort of scanned that quickly, and I didn't remember Shannon Sharp for no reason just saying, yeah, you let me down. Am I missing a joke there? I mean, it's just totally random, right? Like, that kid isn't representing something, is he?
I can't remember
Shannon Sharp.
Yeah, I can't remember what kid that is, but Shannon Sharp is, I mean, I think he's on Undisputed now on like FS1. And that's kind of the whole show is like either calling people out or calling them the greatest of all time. It's all extreme.
Because he was the one, is Undisputed the one he went to after he left Skip Bayless? Wasn't that sort of like, am I right about that?
You know what? I think I had it backwards. I think he left Undisputed with Skip Bayless and went back to First Take with Stephen.
Yes,
Smith.
I think that is it. Okay, so that concludes the basketball novice part of the show. Genevieve, as a real hooper, you put together some commercials here that are also basketball related.
Yeah.
Which one do you want to start with?
Let's start. We've got to end on.
We know which one we're ending on.
Yeah.
Don't give that away.
Well, let's just do. We can skip the basketballs one. Let's just do this Dick's Sporting Goods one.
Okay.
With your friend and mine, Catherine Hahn.
And when you say friend,
she
doesn't know we exist. We just like
you
her
can't
work.
Prove that.
That's true. Maybe she listened to that show I did about radio commercials.
So in this commercial, Catherine Hahn. What would people know her best from? I mean, she's a well-known comedic actress.
I think first of WandaVision.
Oh yeah, she was like the villain
neighbor,
or the antagonist on WandaVision. Well,
what do you think?
Spoiler
of her
alert.
First? Yeah, I know. I was about
Come
to
on.
Say, Vives. Like, no, she plays a neighbor.
She plays
I
the
believe.
Neighbor who
exactly.
we don't know what she's up to.
that's past the spoiler window. Also, I don't care about spoilers, and I don't care if I spoil things.
I mean, she's about to launch a show as an evil character in a couple months anyway from
that
show.
Yeah, so spoiled.
But yeah, I don't know. Nick, do you think, what do you think of Catherine Hahn first from?
Here's the thing. I'm enough of a comic book nerd that I was also going to say WandaVision. But I also just think of her as like playing the best friend character in rom-coms. Mm-hmm. But I cannot remember which movie she actually does that in.
I'm sure she has. I'm a huge Parks and Rec fan, and she was a recurring character of like the hard driving, utterly cynical political consultant.
Right.
On that show. But she's been in if you watch any media, you've seen something with her in it because she has a pretty varied resume. Anyway, she also has been doing. She had a campaign for another clothing retailer. I want to say maybe it was Kohl's or something like that. This is for Dick's Sporting Goods. And she is playing. Remember we did a show on Aunts and Uncles? I wish I had this ad then.
This is an interesting dynamic that I want to talk about.
Yeah. So she has a nephew who's probably a teenager, older teenager, 16 or so. And he asks her basically like for some sporting equipment.
Did you get those shoes for me yet from Dick's
Sporting
it's
very
Goods?
Entitled. He comes in real hot.
Well, it's strange. She's outside like gardening or something, right? She's got kind of gardening clothes on. And then he comes from the house kind of jogging into the garden. He's got his knapsack on, like he's heading off to school or the gym or something. But I just think it's interesting. He says, hey, auntie.
Yeah.
Very specifically says auntie, maybe because Catherine Hahn is maybe playing herself and maybe doesn't have kids or is like for some reason does not want to play the mom.
She's not his
in
mom.
This,
yeah.
But for some reason is responsible for this kid's sporting good news.
In his eyes anyway.
Yeah, I mean she could be raising him. I mean I just think it's sort of an I mean honestly I
That's
just think
why in the original script he said, "Hey legal guardian."
But don't I mean I sort
and she
of
said,
thought
yes,
it was
Ward.
Hey, that was bewitched.
Yes, my young ward.
Well, I mean, what do you make of it? I sort of that was my interpretation of this is like she wants to play or they want her to play sort of a maternal figure, but somehow that didn't work right.
I,
so
I
they
think
made her
that
an
they
aunt.
Wanted it to her to be. I mean, obviously she's not cool here. Like the joke is sort of that she's like an older woman who, as the plot of the commercial unfolds, like tries to be cool and tries to like play ball with her nephew. I think they're just trying to set up she's like the cool aunt. Mm-hmm. And I, light scare quotes on cool there. So he says, hey, did you get me those shoes I wanted or whatever? And then she kind of, I think, teleports or we next cut to her in Dick's Sporting Goods. And she's
via the web, via the app.
Via the app. And then she's having conversations with the clerk in Dick's Sporting Goods and getting like all of these great, deals on sporting equipment for her nephew. Then we cut back to her playing basketball with him and trying to like talk smack on the court when she's really not, you know, a great player.
Yeah, so she plays this sort of, like, zany, like, very, like, kind of large personality, and that's kind of her deal,
yeah,
right? Like,
she's she usually does.
She's usually in supporting roles, but then sort of can steal the scene because of her, because she's sort of over the top. Oh, she's
that's
Stepbrothers?
Right.
I don't remember that.
She is in Stepbrothers. She's the
wife of the brother.
Of the brother, of Adam Scott, another Parks and Rec alum. And she, is like very put upon as his like his wife that he's like pretty domineering over.
So for this commercial, the concept reminds me a little bit of commercials back in the very early days of the internet, the consumer internet, where like she says to her nephew here, I'm sorry, her ward, she says, I don't have time to go to Dick's Sporting Good right now. And he says, well, you can use the app. And so it's like it sort of transports her into a virtual Dick's Sporting Good, which is such an old selling point for the internet, right? It's like, this is what it's like when you're inside the app.
Have you heard about,
store.
It's like e-commerce. Like, it's a brand new concept.
Right, exactly. We have a commercial for CD Baby after this. No, okay, here, take a listen.
What's up, Auntie? Did you get the basketball shoes I need for tryouts this weekend?
Oh, dude, it's okay. I'm not going to be able to make it to Dick's this week.
You can just click on Dick's.com.
Dick's.com. Dick's.com.
I didn't even remember that. She literally like kind of falls through a portal.
Like a wormhole.
Yeah.
But you're right. I just want to pause here and say, it's not like he's asking for a gift.
Ring the bell if I was right.
He's asking for something that he seems to feel she is obligated to provide for him.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I think like, she is his legal guardian.
I think she might be his legal guardian.
What's up, Auntie? Did you get the basketball shoes I need for tryouts this weekend?
Oh, dude. It's okay. I'm not going to be able to make it to Dick's this week.
You can just click on Dick's.com.
Dick's.com. Dick's.com.
Hi, welcome to Dick's.com.
Wow, they're beautiful.
Let's go shopping.
Are you kidding me? I'm in ball heaven.
I like you.
Look at all these cups.
I really like you.
I don't even live near water.
Whoa.
So the last one, she's like, she's just buying tons of basketballs, entire aisles.
She's got she's got a paddle board.
But yeah, that's been my favorite joke is we see her buying this giant paddle board as she yells, I don't even live by water.
Cups, I really like you.
I don't even live near water.
Whoa, these arrive so fast.
I know, right? You're about to get posterized.
I'm gonna shatter that glass.
Go.
Dick's stuck.
Okay, so she's playing basketball at the end, and this is my nit to pick with this one. Oh, you don't have time to go to Dick's Sporting Good, but now suddenly you have time to play basketball and do everything that you were too busy to do before. She should just go to the brick and mortar store.
Oh, that's
I don't know.
Rude.
Very like you got time to lean, you got time to clean.
exactly. Like the young people say. That's
also, I know this is like so embarrassing to admit, but this is the how I learned what posterized means.
What does it mean? I know.
Allow me.
Oh.
Ooh.
Allow me.
I just remembered. Here, can I have the bell?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
When you have somebody like that really does a huge slam dunk such that it is worthy of a poster, the person that they're usually dunking on has been, quote, posterized.
That's my understanding as well.
Where's the bell?
Nick?
Ding.
All right. Look at us. We're all winning today. Except for Nick, who's sort of a MAGA sexist guy. Wait, I didn't say sexist. I said sexy.
Speaking of, great
perfectly
segue
into our final commercial for today.
This is a function. This is a result of when I just like searched for basketball on iSpot, and this came up, and I thought it was so hilarious. This is for a phone sex line, like the old school phone sex line.
Which, yeah, how are they doing?
How are they doing? Great question.
They got money for ads.
Yeah.
The women in this ad are of a wide range of conventional attractiveness, I would say. I hope that's not too sexist of me to say. Maybe I should have waited for Nick to say it. But it's an interesting assortment of
ladies.
There's
only two women in this. There's two women.
Oh, I thought there were three.
No, there's two women. There's just a lot of jump cuts.
They're just jumping around a lot. Yeah,
and they're literally jumping around. Yes.
But they are.
But
they,
you are saying that they are not what you think of when you think of.
I think this woman in the front is very attractive. The woman in back is styled in a really odd way.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure she's beautiful, whatever. But like, she's just styled in a way that I don't know if they're going for like she's sporty. But it's a really strange look.
But they're both very kind of plasticky, sort of, as far as that. Yeah.
Anyway, they are taking the opportunity to promote this phone sex line with the start of basketball season.
And first of all, I just want to say I love the name of the product. It's 1-800-PHONE-SEXY.
Yep.
Which is too many numbers.
Too many numbers, yeah.
So they that Y doesn't actually do anything. It would be 1-800-PHONE-SE.
Yeah.
But they added the XY. It's interesting that they chose to add the Y as well.
Right.
It could just be 1-800-PHONE-SEX.
But I think phone sex has such a sad connotation.
It's just a fun, sexy time.
Yeah. It's just a fun, it's a phone sexy time.
It's a phone sexy time. So they're just these two
I
actresses.
I wonder if anybody had that already. Like 1-800-PHONE-SEX has got to be taken by now.
Yeah, right. They just assumed.
Yeah.
It's like, how could somebody not have taken that? So anyway, so these two women are on a set somewhere, but there's a, they are each holding basketballs and they're sort of taking shots.
Sort of.
And they're sort of, and they're making a pitch for the phone line.
They're
and,
gesturing at playing basketball.
And they are also. Also making, I think they're trying to jam in as many sort of basketball or sports puns.
Basketball is back, baby, and so are we. We're the girls of the all-new and improved 1-800-PHONE-SEXY.
You know what? You have to take back a ding from me because I have seen a third phone chatter enter enter the group here.
The filmmaking on this is wild.
So are we.
It really is.
We're the girls of the all-new and improved 1-800-PHONE-SEXY.
It's time for you to get off the bench and get into the game.
Phone Sexy is the world's hottest chat service. Find out for yourself right now.
Don't let the clock run out on your fun tonight.
Call 1-800-PHONE-SEXY.
Come on, stud. Take your best shot. Call us right now at 800-PHONE-SEXY.
Also, I don't know if this was an intentional misspelling, but the chyron at the bottom says, "What have you got to loose?"
I didn't know.
Look.
Oh my God. You're
what
right.
have you got to lose?
That's incredible.
Okay. Another thing that struck me upon rewatching it now is they describe it as the new and improved 1-800-PHONE-SEXY.
They're back.
I wonder what the issues were.
Like, I was gonna ask
it's
the
almost
same
an,
thing.
It's almost an unlimited list of possibilities.
So, what can you tell us about the people in this ad, Nick?
Only good things. You know, I think that if you can
I am not dogging sex workers, let me be clear. This commercial though is hilarious.
I knew somebody. I had a big crush on somebody in college who ended up getting a job being a like a phone sex, I don't know, do you call them operators? But she was a woman on the other end of the phone line back in the
purveyors
late 90s.
Yeah. Did she ever have any good stories? I mean, I think what you wind up hearing about this, which you also hear from sex workers of all description, is that, yeah, some people are there for, you know, sexual or erotic purposes, but a lot of people are just lonely and they need someone to talk to.
Yeah. Well, I'm
as long
sorry
as everybody's
if I...
being safe, kind, and sexy. I think I'm for it.
Exactly, right. I'm sorry if I hit the music a little bit earlier, if I cut off this conversation, but I... will be beholden to this music. So we will wrap up the show.
Yes.
Now.
Well, we've been a long, Nick, we've kept you very long. Thank you so much for joining us as always. We love having you.
That was tons and tons of fun. Thanks for doing it. Let's not let so much time pass again before we get you on the show. Anything else that you need to get off your chest before we say goodbye?
That feels really loaded. I'm just going to let
really
it take
does.
Line okay. where it
lies. Sounds good. If you have any,
that's a broad brief.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you, are a fan of Nick's, you can find his thoughts on truthsocial.biz.
Please do retruth him. What have you got to lose?
I need those tasty, tasty retruths.
And for the rest of you, we would like to hear from you. Please call our voicemail line, 607-444-5597. That's 607-444-5597. You can also record a voice memo and email it to us after these messages, show@gmail.com. You can check out the YouTube page where I post vintage ads that I find on VHS tapes. Again, after these messages, podcast on YouTube there. And do please check out our Facebook group. That is Facebook, not Truth Social. Just look for After These Messages podcast there. Thank you, everybody. Thank you again, Nick. We'll talk to you all.
Thank you.
Next week.
Coffee for Luda, Truthy, Cooley, more flows than Luda. What good is all your money if your style's